15 is, well, maybe I can make it to another level of blessing. Oh, if I can just make it to another level of prosperity. How many of you know God's not really that much interested in another level of prosperity that we're to live in? We're pretty prosperous as we are, amen? And we're going to see here today that God, and again, I'm not saying it's wrong to have sales goals and all these other goals, but that's not our main focus, is another level of blessing or another level of prosperity. We read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake is going to find it." So we're finding today that if we're really going to live 2015, we need to find out how to lose our desires and to lose our ways so that we can find His ways. Amen? And when we find His ways, we will find ourselves walking in the blessing and the prosperity that He has for us. He'll know exactly how much He needs to funnel to you and get to you when you're walking in His ways. If He sees that you're not able to walk because you're lacking in an area, we just heard it on this song, He's able to get it to you. He's able to get whatever funds you need. He's able to get whatever resources He needs to you. I was so worried. There were several things last year I was worried about. I was worried about Judy and her eyes and losing her job. And she couldn't function. She got dizzy and couldn't function. They wouldn't allow her to drive because of her eyes. And you have so many weeks through TEA that you can be out. And then there becomes a time where they can let you go because of it. And we had a deadline that Judy had to get a pair of glasses by a certain deadline. And I began to pray, and I know a bunch of us began to pray, saying, "Lord, Judy needs this job to function. She needs this job as part of her ministry to these children and to for her family. And God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but somehow you've got to get her the resources that she needs." And I said, "God, I know your timetable is always right, but if you could hurry it up, I appreciate it." Well, God said, "I'm not in a hurry." It was the last day of the last, you couldn't get any more closer to the line of when these glasses had to come through for her. But you know what? God came through. She didn't lose her job. She was able to go back to work. And she was able to finish out the school year. Why? Because I know their hearts. They're wanting to serve God. They're wanting to pour themselves out. And so when you do that, losing your life for His name's sake, you will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? How does it really help us if we gain everything that the world says is important? Be it in the process of chasing after that blessing, chasing after what the world says is success, amen? The world says if you drive this car and you do this and this, you are successful. But that's not God's ideal for success, amen? I read in this book, "But he who follows after me and does my will, that's who I am pleased." Again, when John the Baptist, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus and he comes out of the water, what are the words of God says? "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And how did Jesus live his life? To be a servant. "I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom." And God says, "I'm well pleased with that type of lifestyle." And yet so many people are going to chase things in 2015. that are really not that important. Oh, on the surface, they seem kind of important. But the bottom line, are they really the things that are kingdom values and kingdom basics? Is that the things that we're chasing after? Scripture goes on, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one of us according to our works. Wow. That's putting in perspective, isn't it? That this life that we get so attached to things, we get so attached to all the people and everyone, and yet the Lord is saying this morning, he needs to encourage us, listen, we just live our lives to the fullest for him and then let God take care of everything else. Will you trust me in that? That's what the Lord is asking. Church, will you trust him that you just live your life to the fullest for him? When he tells you to give, you give. When he tells you to keep, you keep. When he tells you to take, you take. And you just go what he encourages you to do and trust him that he will take care of it. Amen? 1 Timothy 6, 5, Paul, as he's writing to young Timothy, goes on and he increases this message. He says, and I'm starting in verse 5, for perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. These are people that are thinking like the world, and they're destitute of the truth. And here's how they think, supposing that gain is godliness. That as long as you're, and again, I'm not against the prosperity message that gets preached in the pulpits, because I do believe that we are blessed in the basket and blessed in the field. Amen? But it's not always the way that the world calls blessing and success. It's a different level. It's a different understanding of walking in God's divine order. And in God's divine order, it is exact opposite to everything that the world's order is. Exact opposite of what the world's order thinks is. Supposing that gain is godliness, but from such withdraw yourself. Get away from those people, he's saying. Listen, who have that mindset. Get away from those people who think that gain is godliness. That somehow getting this and getting this and getting this. And that's, again, that's why I hate Christmas so much. Because it's all about what's a list. Making a list and checking it twice. Because you want gain, you want this gain and this gain and this gain. And we teach it to our children at a young age. Lord, help us. It's not the spirit of Christmas. Christmas is about God's Son being given. For unto us a Son is given. That's a gift that we can receive. But we don't have this list. And yet, how many of you know for 2015, there's these lists that are going on in people's minds, things that they want to get and that they want to gain this year. Oh, from such, Scripture says, we need to withdraw ourselves. Because the truth is, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, contentment. You want to write down the two things should be our goal for 2015? Godliness, contentment. Lord, you've given us this house. You've given us this car. You've given us what we need. We pray the prayer, Lord, give us. And again, notice it's not, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. It's us, the body of Christ, amen. Give us this day our daily bread. And you pray that, do you mean it? And is his daily bread good enough for you? Oh, and I need a side of this. And I need a side of this to go with that daily bread, Lord, if you don't mind. I've got a list over here of extras that I need, extra value meal that I want you to add to this daily bread. And you find yourself like the children of Israel. God, every day, faithfully. Manna from heaven, their daily bread coming down every day. And on Saturdays, you gather twice as much so that you didn't have to work on the Sabbath. So that would have been Friday. Friday's twice as much. So on the Sabbath, you didn't work twice as much. And yet, was that enough for the children of Israel? No. Lord, we're sick of this manna. We're sick of your daily provision. Do we sometimes, you ever find yourself getting a little disappointed with God because of his daily provision in our lives? Probably if we didn't see all those things that were out there. You know, for the first few years of our marriage, Melissa and I, we chose not to watch TV or even have a TV in our house. And then when we finally got one, we didn't get a cable. We just got rabbit ears while everyone else had cables. And so Christmas would roll around and we'd ask our girls, anything you thinking you would like grandma and grandpa or mommy and daddy to find you for Christmas? And they're like, no, because they hadn't seen anything. They didn't know there was anything out there that they needed. And yet the children of Israel were getting everything taken care of every day, and they were unhappy with God's daily provision. Isn't that sad? But godliness with contentment, that's great gain. That needs to be our desire this year. Godliness. Well, how are we going to get more of God? How are we going to get more of God to become godly? What are the things we need to do? We're going to pray? Praying? Yeah, that's in there. Getting in the Word of God, is that gonna make us more godly? Yes, you can just shake and you nod your head. That's all right. We're gonna pray. We're gonna get in the Word. When we get a chance to come together as believers, encourage one another. Yeah, we're gonna do that too, because that's part of godliness, is to encourage one another. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says that you forsake not the assembling of yourselves, but rather you encourage one another as you see the day approaching. I think the day is approaching. So I'm encouraging us, when we get a chance to get together, let's get together and let's worship and let's seek God. Godliness and contentment, that's going to make a great year. For we brought nothing into this world, verse 7, and it is certain we're not going to carry anything out. We brought nothing into this world. How many go, I know that's right. And we'll carry nothing out. So the question is, since we're not going to take anything with us when we leave this world, why are we working so hard to accumulate so much stuff? Notice I say stuff. Because most of the time when it comes down to it, it's just stuff. And then after a while, I'll take my stuff and I'll put it in a big pile and I'll ask you to come and buy my stuff. Call it a garage sale. And you'll be happy that you now have my stuff. And I'll be glad that you took it so that I can go acquire. That's how it works. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We see and we look at the life of someone who has it all in the Old Testament. His name was Moses. Can you imagine what it was like to be born in Pharaoh's house? Can you imagine the resources that Moses has? And yet, Moses has got to learn some lessons. He's got to leave Pharaoh's house, and he's got to go to the desert. He's got to spend some time out in the desert, away from all these other things that were polluting his mind. And again, he had the best what money could buy of education, of this. He definitely had the best chariot on his 16th birthday. Can you imagine what Moses' chariot looked like he got for his birthday? And yet, God said, listen, I really need to use you, Moses, but I've got to get you away and I've got to change your mindset. Because right now, the way that you are operating, it's just not right. I've got to get you on my wavelength. Amen? Dwight Moody said this. He put it this way. He said, listen, Moses spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent his second 40 years learning he was a nobody. He spent his last 40 years discovering that what God can do with a nobody. Isn't that good? Moses goes to God's school of the desert. Perhaps you've taken a few courses there too. Amen. The desert's a place of desolation. For some folks, they'll spend a few weeks in the desert. For others, it's months. Moses was there for 40 years. But how many of you know God doesn't ever do anything without a purpose? Amen? God doesn't do anything without a purpose. And so here's what I'm asking us to do. I'm asking us to volunteer in these next few weeks, allow ourselves to go ourselves to the desert without God having to drag us there or take us there. And allow God to begin to saturate our mind and our thoughts with kingdom plans and kingdom purposes and how we can do some things differently this year. How we can take these first few months and we got to strategize and how God can, if he needs to, he can humble us, because that's what God had to do for Moses. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what is in your heart. Isn't that interesting? God says, listen, Moses, I'm taking you out here to humble you and to test you so that I can know what is in your heart. And so here's what I want us to do. I want us to have a heart check these next few weeks, these months. And look and say, Lord, what is in my heart? What is really in my heart? For him, it was whether or not he would keep his commandments or not. Would he follow the law? Would he follow what was laid down for him to do? I believe God has put some things in front of us to do, church, this year. Amen? Just because I look back at 2014 and I see our addition and I see our youth services we're starting to have and they're starting to grow. That's exciting. But I know we can't just stop and get complacent. We can't just stop and say, well, look, most Sunday mornings the church is full and we sure don't have any parking, so I better stay home a few Sundays so let someone else be able to park. Well, if we need to, we'll get permission again for a while and we'll go to park at the propane place down the block and we can park there if we need to make more room for more parking. The Lord said, listen, I'm going to bring you to this place so I can humble you and test you. So we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to come to the place and we're going to humble ourselves before God these next few weeks. And we're going to say, God, what is on your heart? What is it in my heart that's right? And then what is in my heart that maybe I may need to make some adjustments? Amen? Because that's what the Word of God, how many of you know the Word of God is that type of it shows us. The Word of God, when we get into it and we start digging into the Word of God, all of a sudden the Word of God is this, of course, the psalmist said, Lord, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We know that. But also, how many know the psalmist in the same psalm there, he said, Lord, thank you that you this word shows me what type of person I am. This word will show me what type of person I really am. It'll cause me to look. Taking heed to the word of the Lord, that's what the psalmist said. So here are some lessons that Moses learned. Lesson number one, how to forgive yourself. How to forgive yourself for failures, mistakes, and poor choices. And I know none of you made any of those in 2014. And can you imagine the things that are going on in Moses' head? Look at you now. You're Pharaoh's son. And you're out here in the desert. Here's the truth. You cannot forgive others if you can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive others until you forgive yourself. We sang this beautiful song this morning, declaring of God's love and forgiveness. And it's for all of us, and we just regularly have to make sure to keep our heart right that we're forgiving ourselves. Lesson number two, patience. And more patience. I don't like being patient, though. And this generation is a generation of not being patient. These kids get on their phones. They can't even walk around anymore without having their thumbs ready to Twitter, text, or play a game or something. And all of a sudden, the internet crashes or gets a little slow. And all of a sudden, this person that they were chatting with or talking with in China, it's taking longer than 2 seconds. And they're upset. Come on, Paige, load. Why is this internet so slow? We've gotten to the place where we just accept and demand instant gratification. It's instant gratification. And we want it now. And I want to buy a pill, take this pill, and with this pill, it'll do all those things that I needed, wanted to be done. I don't want to have to work for it. I just want to take a pill. That's how we are. And Moses is going, yeah, that's right. We want to take every shortcut that we can. Okay, really need these. You know, we talked to these kids during test week, you know. And really need you to go to bed early, get some sleep, eat a breakfast, do all these things. And they're like, no, I'll just stay up all night and take a monster in the morning. And they do, thinking somehow, again, Lord help us. But how many of you know, while we're there in this desert learning patience, we're not alone? Hello? We are not alone. Deuteronomy 32:10 says that he found him in the desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. That's what God does. When he has to, again, here's what I'm proposing. I'm proposing we separate ourselves voluntarily over the next few weeks and months. I'm proposing we separate ourselves so that God doesn't have to drag us to the desert. He doesn't have to lead us to the desert. That we will go voluntarily to the desert so that God can test us and check our hearts out, and we can check our hearts out and see what's really there. Because again, I believe that God's plans for this year are big plans. Amen. I believe God's plans for this week are big plans. God has got big things for us. Lesson number three, and maybe this might be the most important thing that Moses is going to learn. When you're in the desert, you got to seek God. And seek God some more. Seek God. Psalms 88 puts it this way. David, this is when David went through one of those desert times. Lord, you are the God who saves me day and night. I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you and turn your ear to my cry. How often was David praying? Day and night. Day and night. How often are we really crying out to God to seek him, to find out what is on his heart, to get the plan? Loneliness. When you're in the desert place and you're seeking God, sometimes we get separated away. Because here's the bottom line. Here's the truth. I want you to understand this. From time to time, we all have doubts. Can I be honest with you? From time to time, we all have doubts about God. Are you really there? Are you really working in my behalf? Are you really controlling what's going on? Because I'm getting a little frustrated right now. There's a man in the Bible called, the name was John the Baptist. And he began to meddle in the king's personal life, denounced King Herod's immorality. And so King Herod says, I need you to go get John the Baptist. He's talking about me, and it's the truth, honestly, and I need to silence that voice. And so John the Baptist, here's John the Baptist, he's in the prison. And he's been doing the work of God. But somehow voices begin to speak in John the Baptist's head and his ear. And he's like, God, are you really working through all this? Is this really you? And my cousin, Jesus, is he really the Son of God? And here's what John the Baptist does. He goes, grabs two disciples, and he says, I want you to go find Jesus and find out, is he the one or should we look for another? Really? John? You who leaped in your mom's womb just at the mention of his name? John, you who when you baptized him, the heavens opened and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased? John, you're doubting Jesus? Woo! Why? Because we all have doubts and fears. Even the mightiest men of God, like John the Baptist, have doubts and fears. John, the one who said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That was John the Baptist who said those words. And yet, he begins to doubt. Of course, the disciples go and they witness the miraculous things that Jesus has done. And a few days later, John doesn't hear, you've been pardoned. John doesn't hear, oh, we're sorry, John, we made a mistake. No, but what John does hear is the footsteps of a centurion guard coming to take him that he might lose his head for the gospel. To lose his life. And now these words of Jesus, that he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. See, here's the truth. And Jesus is going to speak this this scripture and trying to explain to some folks in Matthew chapter, is it Matthew chapter 6? John chapter 12. Look at this. Very truly, I tell you that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and what? Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it is going to produce many seeds. See, that's the truth of what we're trying to get to. I want this year, 2015, to be a fruitful season with many seeds. We read the scripture this morning in 1 Kings that our roots have to go downward so that our fruit can go upward. And now I read it says, unless I die and die to my desires and my demands and everything that I think is important and everything I want to treasure, but if I allow everything I desire and everything I treasure to die, it's going to be the opportunity to bring forth much fruit. Amen? Which brings up to us our last lesson, I believe Moses learned, and that we will learn as we set ourselves aside for these next few days. Prayer, the word. I'm not so sure for some of us we need to do a little fasting. Amen? Jesus, when it came to dealing with some of the folks, he said, listen, this kind only comes but by prayer and, ouch. Prayer and fasting. Yeah. But what are you really doing when you're fasting? You're saying, flesh, I'm putting you down. Flesh, I am putting you under. I'm going to die to my flesh so that I can live in a greater realm in the spiritual. Prayer and fasting. Lots of good books out there about prayer and fasting. Lots of wonderful scriptures you can read in the Bible about prayer and fasting and the power that comes with those two. Last lesson, lesson number four, and we'll close with this. To evaluate and prioritize. When we get separated, when we get away from all this clutter and all of life's voices and all these other things, and you get out there and you're just you and God in the desert and the stars, and you're separating yourself on purpose, you're going to have time to rearrange. Amen? You're going to have time to examine and to have that heart check, and you're going to be able to ask yourself, Lord, where's my heart really at? Matthew 13, 44, and I'm switching, I think, Hazel, these last two scriptures. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man finds it, he hides it again. And then in his joy, everyone say joy. Joy. Then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought the field. It was all, he was not going to hold anything back. Everything that he realized, you know what, all these other things really don't matter that much. But I have found this treasure, and the treasure is the kingdom of God. And it's worth joyfully going and saying, God, everything that I have that you need this year is yours. Lord, here am I. Start with me. Then if you need my possessions, or if you need this, or you need that, Lord, they're yours too, because none of it matters. And then with his joy, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven's like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. We're talking about treasure today. True treasure. What is the true treasure God has for us in 2015? Jesus has something to say about our treasure, doesn't he? Matthew chapter 6. We'll close with this, verse 19. So therefore, do not lay up for yourselves treasures, but lay up for yourself treasures. Where? Yeah. Lay ourselves up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't that powerful? For where your treasure is, where's your treasure today? Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Lord, let 2015 find us seeking treasure that will remain forever. Amen. Let it be, Lord, this year that our treasure will be eternal, not temporal. That we're not chasing after. Again, go back to Ecclesiastes. For there is a time. Everyone say, there is a time. Come on. There is a time for dancing. There is a time for rejoicing. There is a time for doing all these things. But let me tell you what, there is also a time when we're to sow. And where are we going to plant our seed? Where are we going to go plant our seed? I've already spoken to a friend of mine. He has a ministry, Strategic Alliance, out of New Braunfels, Texas. And I asked him, I said, what does June look like in your calendar? He said, why? I said, I got a group of kids and a group of adults that would like to come down and build a home in Mexico. He said, really? I said, absolutely. I said, I get awe inspired every time I see people take short term missions, and it changes their lives. And all of a sudden, it when you take a short term mission, you know, those of you who've done it, it just takes your eyes off of yourself. And you just totally don't care. And it's all about the people that you're there and who and the time that you're spending. He's like, well, you know, for $3,100, we can build a home. I said, okay. I said, we can do that. We can plan. We can start looking at it. And I said, well, what is it going to cost? He said, well, for 1 week, leaving New Braunfels on Monday, coming back Saturday, stock barrel, everything included, $525. I said, we can do that. We have the time. We can start funneling and looking and planning. And so I don't know if we're looking at the second week of June or the third week of June, but I know that we're going to go down to Reynoso, Mexico, and we're going to build a home. Unless it's just too hot. He's worried. He's like, well, can you guys handle the heat? Because it is pretty warm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, we just work early and take a siesta. We just join the locals. Hallelujah. And so I'm looking at either the second or third week of June, and some of you can bounce that off of me and see what you think. Kids, missions trip, Mexico. Go build a home for a family. We're going to tear down, I don't know if we'll tear down their cardboard home and start afresh or how we'll do it, but that's the plan right now. And you know what? We're going to be building up treasure in heaven. You know what? And they can't repay us. They cannot repay us for what we're going to do. How many of you know these children in this orphanage in Suzhou, China, can't repay us for what we're doing? Well, you know what we are doing? We're sowing into the kingdom. We're laying up treasure in heaven every time we do these types of things. I'm excited about this year. Because what is great gain? What is going to be our great gain this year? Godliness with contentment. Man, I just can't think of a better thing to do than a missions trip, a short-term missions trip. And so you'll be hearing lots more information about it. I'm going to meet with him at the missions conference in San Antonio in a couple of weeks and start planning and deciding, is that the best thing we can do is to build a home or there's some other things. But if you enjoy that type of thing, again, start looking at your calendar so you can start making plans. And again, we'll try to nail down dates. Second, it'll be a Monday through a Saturday. We'll go to New Braunfels, and from there, they'll take care of us for the rest of the week. Amen. Stand with me this morning. This line of the song we sang this morning. But through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all. That just has grasped my heart. That has got to be our heart's cry. Amen. Living Waters for 2015. That our eyes are on him. Father, we just thank you this morning. Just begin thanking him for this year. Lord, we don't know what this year holds, but we begin to thank you in advance. We begin to thank you, Lord, of the roads and the possibilities that are going to open to us as individuals and as a church, as a youth group. God, we thank you this morning that you have placed us here at this time for such a time as this. Lord, you've appointed us to be here in this place to be able to impact our community, to be able to impact the world from right here, Living Waters Fellowship. God, we thank you this morning so much, Lord, that we can pull ourselves away these next few days and weeks and to seek your face and to get to know your heart and to look at us. And is there anything that we need to change or anything we need to reprioritize? God, I thank you this morning that you are moving and your kingdom is on the move. Amen. Father, thank you this morning. Your kingdom is on the move and we get to be a part of it. Lord, we get to take the gospel and go into all the world and make disciples. And we get to build and we get to pour into one another and pour into people's lives this week. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. And may the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet.